You know, it's amazing how no one, Jesse or no one, they had no idea what I was going to be teaching this morning. Matter of fact, I didn't know what I was going to be teaching till a few days ago. But the Lord laid this psalm on my heart, and it's so interesting that the last song that Jesse did, the band did, is just perfect. That's called the spirit of unity. You know what I mean? And so this morning, the title of this message is Wait and Trust in these 12 verses. But what I want to do, since I was not with you last Sunday, and Pastor Hector did a great job, by the way, and I want to pick up two Sundays back just briefly as a review, and then we're going to move into this morning's message. But two Sundays ago, remember that I spoke from Proverbs chapter 2, or 22, rather, verse 23, where it says, "A prudent man foresees the evil day and hides himself from it, but the simple pass on and are punished." So the prudent man, he has discernment. He looks down the horizon. He says, there's trouble ahead. And he foresees those things. But remember what I said about being seeing what's coming, discerning what's coming. It doesn't mean that what you see, even though it's evil, it doesn't look evil. Amen? It may not appear as evil. It might even look good. We want to keep those things in our mind through the rest of this year and also as we move into 2025. And remember also what I said. We are not going to allow any person, anyone to redefine our thinking. We are the church of Jesus Christ, amen? Our minds are conformed by the living word of God. They're shaped by the word of God. Matter of fact, we're commanded to have the mind of Christ, that attitude living in us. And so we live in a world today where people are trying to reshape our thinking. It's important to be on guard, because God's word is alive, man's word isn't, amen? So we want to be careful. You know, on the surface this morning, we've had a great election, and on the surface this morning, let me make a comment. It seems that Christian America, loved one, they believe the promises of government more than they believe the promises of God. Does that not set well with some of you? It's evident, we see it. You know, listen, there's only one God. And he is our God. Amen? Now, very, very important. So, yes, we have a new president. Praise the Lord. But you know what? We don't stop praying. This is now is a time. If you've ever prayed, you better pray now. You know, because you just better pray. We better wake up. So the last time, remember what I said, the most important thing that we should do throughout the rest of 2024, and of course, into 2025, should the Lord tarry and not take us all home, and that is we are to sit at the feet of Jesus, amen? And you know, to obey Jesus, remember the command, seek first. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Now, and we're also, remember, from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, we're supposed to seek those things which are above where Christ is, amen? And we're also, our lives, if you are a Christian and we are Christians, our lives are to revolve around the throne of grace where we have access. That's what we are to do, loved one. Now, that's what I preached 2 weeks ago. That's what I believe with all my heart, because it's also what God commands. Amen? Okay, my question is this. Did you take that sermon to heart? Did you do it? In other words, did you really go and stand and get before the feet of the Lord? Did you go to the throne of grace every day? I mean, every day. Did you wait before the Lord? Was it difficult for you to do that? You know, it's usually not difficult for me to go pray. I preach that sermon. It's been difficult. The devil doesn't want you to pray. He certainly doesn't want me to pray. Was it hard for you? Well, listen to this scripture, Psalm 69:3. Is this you? Oh, I am weary with crying. My throat is dry. My eyes fail while I wait for my God. Oh, God, I'm just worn out at the throne of grace. I'm just worn out calling on you. Is that you? Not usually. I'm like the disciples there in the garden, you know, the Lord finds me sleeping. Could you not tarry with me 1 hour, Jesus said, remember? No. Listen, we live, talking about the word wait, we live in a hurry-up generation. Have you ever noticed that? Everybody is in a hurry. I mean, I don't know why they're in a hurry. They're in a hurry. And you better get out of their way. Do you understand? I mean, if you go grocery shopping, it's like a battle now. You know, you go to the mall, it's like you better carry a weapon. I'm joking. No, listen, you get on the freeway, it is danger zone. You ever heard that song, Danger Zone, from a movie. Tom Cruise, thank you. It was a word of prophecy. We're moving in the spirit this morning. Now, so listen, the question is that weight is, it seems that word weight is absent from the vocabulary of this generation. In other words, I want it now, and to wait is a complete waste of time. And their thinking is, I mean, it's deranged, because when they wait, they feel like, you know, that instead of, you know, 1 hour, it seems like 5 hours of them waiting. It's just a strange, strange time. But now listen carefully. Even some Christians, instead of waiting and trusting in God in prayer for the answer that they need, what do? They don't wait. They take matters into their own hands. And I fear today, I say this lovingly, there's no judgment in my heart at all, but I fear today there is a lot of weight on Christians. Now, I don't mean like get on the scales weight. I mean W-A-I-T weight. Do you understand? There's a lot of weight in many Christians. I see wives, I see husbands, both of them saved, but you know what? They're just, for some reason, still waiting to make Jesus the Lord of their marriage. I don't know why. You're just not obedient. You're a believer, amen? You have the promises of God. There's so many Christians, and they're waiting. They're waiting to serve. They're waiting to have a prayer time. They're waiting to say, okay, it's finally time to, every morning I'm going to be in the Bible before I leave for the office or work or whatever it is, and so forth. And so many Christians are waiting to forgive other people. I was on the way home yesterday, and I always call my sister Saturday morning on the way in as I prepare today's sermon. But I was too busy to call her, and then on the way home, I said to myself, well, I'll just call her maybe Sunday or something, and I just prepared this sermon, you know, wait. And I said, why would I want to wait when I may not see her ever again? I may never talk with her again. Amen. See, we wait on things. We wait to forgive others. One day I'm gonna do it, but you don't. And we just keep waiting to get over what might have been, could have been, or should have been in our lives. Christian, listen to me now. Do you ever feel that maybe God is waiting on you? God is waiting on you, that the Holy Spirit is waiting on you to do what is recorded in the Scripture for us to be obedient to that? The Bible says in Psalm 27:14, wait on the Lord. Now listen, and then it says, and then while you wait, it says, be of good courage. And let me tell you why, because he gives a promise. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he, God, shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So listen to me now. Did you know that waiting on the Lord doesn't weaken the believer? Waiting on the Lord strengthens the believer. Amen? I'm going to ask you another question. Because, see, I'm not tormenting you. I'm provoking you. Is that okay? Let me ask you another question. Ask yourself this. Are the promises of God worth waiting on? Is God worth waiting on? Absolutely, loved one. Are you at Psalm 62? Okay. Psalm 62 has been called the only psalm, meaning the word only, because it's used over and over repetitiously and so forth. Now, this is a psalm for every Christian, of every believer of any age, because, see, there's no historical background. We don't know anything that was going on in David's life. We're not told. We do know this: whatever he is going through, those emotions and the hurt, they are real. It's really happening. The Bible is a real book. And he's going through some sort of difficult time. But what I love is that the difficult time that David is going through, he is living above it. And so here David tells us how we can do the absolute same. The theme of this short psalm, of course, is trust in the Lord. Wait and trust in the Lord. The entire psalm is bathed, if you will, in an atmosphere of prayer, okay, from David. So let's look at it together. Psalm 62, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun. Now, he was one of the chief musicians of the temple choir. It says now, a psalm of David. And David starts out, and he uses the word truly or only in verse 1, meaning to the fullest measure, truly, my soul, silently, quietly, patiently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. David starts out and he says something that we need to embrace right now. He says, my soul, David says, my soul, man, all that I am, all my emotional makeup, I wait silently on my God. I want that kind of faith, don't you? And that's what he's doing here. Now listen, you're not going to find any word of complaining in this psalm. You're not going to find him, just complaining or crying or none of those things. He just says, I only wait for God. I wait for his timing. I wait for his plan. No matter what the circumstances I am facing, I am waiting and I am trusting God. Why? David tells us, look at it. From him, or literally, for only from God comes my what? Salvation, deliverance, or really the word is victory. Loved one, let me ask you a question. And we need to really be honest. Be honest in your heart this morning, please. Do you really believe with all of your heart that it is God's will to give to his sons and his daughters victory? Yes. It is. Did you know that? We don't need to be. We don't have to be a defeated people. We don't at all in any area of our life, okay? Now listen, no matter what the circumstances are, if we would only believe, loved one, that victory in our lives only comes from God, not from me, not from yourself. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, thanks be unto God who always leads us in triumph or leads us in victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. The word always doesn't mean sometimes, amen? It means always. That's his desire. He always wants to lead you into a place of victory no matter what you're facing in your life. But you have to trust the Lord. You have to wait on the Lord at times. The Bible tells us, the apostle of love, what did John, the old apostle, tell us in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4? He says this. He says, whatever is born of God, whoever has experienced a new birth, overcomes the world. Did you know your fighting does, your nothing overcomes the world but one thing? You have now been born again, and you are in the one who has overcome this world. Amen? It says, oh, whoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. And he says, our faith, just trusting in the Lord, believing in the Lord, believing in the promises of God. And who is he who overcomes, or who is victorious, or who is it that conquers the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Did you know that we are not of this world? Did you know that Jesus chose us out of this world? Oh, I love that. That we have a home in heaven. Listen, how victorious is the Christian? God has provided each and every way. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:54, Paul says, so when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. We even have victory over death because we're in the one who conquered death, who tasted death for us. Amen? It goes on and he says, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, Hades, where's your victory? Well, Hades is not going to have any victory over the believer. Amen? Hades is going to be cast into the lake of fire. And you read Revelation 20 and 21. Amen? But thanks be unto God, who gives us the victory through Christ Jesus our Lord. How is it that we can even look or even place our trust in anyone but our Savior? Amen? No. Listen, let us live every day, the rest of this year, every day through 2025, waiting on the Lord. Now, waiting is a posture of faith. Every Christian is in God's waiting room. Have you ever noticed that? We're waiting for this prayer to be answered, or that prayer to be answered, or this to come to pass. We're all in waiting for something, okay? That's not a bad thing. Waiting is the posture of faith. It means you're waiting because you believe God, amen? So we want to be careful with that. We want to wait for God's answer. We want to wait for His plan, for His will, for our lives, whatever is going on in any circumstance that we may face. And look what David says. I love it. In verse 2, he says, "He only is my rock." That's a wonderful word. There's no one else, he says. My only protection is from God. You know, when I read that, I say, "Dear Lord, only is my rock," that fortress, God. He's using metaphors, if you will. And he says, "and my salvation," or literally my only salvation, my only deliverance, my only victory. "He is my defense. He's my only protection. I shall not be greatly moved." That word "moved" means I shall not be shaken. You remember when Hannah, there in the old covenant, gave her firstborn son to the priest. Remember that? And she was barren and so forth. And listen to the mother's prayer, Hannah's prayer. 1 Samuel 2:1. And Hannah prayed and said, "Oh, my heart rejoices in the Lord." He says, my horn, or my strength, my prayer has been answered. I'm no longer barren, in other words. I have a child. He says, "My horn is excited, exalted in the Lord. I smile at my enemies," meaning those who say, "You'll never have a child. I rejoice in your salvation. I rejoice in your victory, in your deliverance. Because I rejoice in your salvation, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none besides you, nor is there any rock like our God." I'm going to ask you a question, and I'm going to ask you if you believe what I'm about to tell you. Do you believe that our rock, that's Christ Jesus our Lord, amen? Do you believe that our rock delights in reversing things in your lives? Did he reverse things in Hannah's life? Hannah was barren. Hannah had a child. His little name was Samuel. Remember that? Listen, before you get home today, whatever you have been facing, did you know that God, between now and the time you open your front door, or rather go through the garage door, however you do it, can reverse your circumstances? And find that everything, no matter what they are, they have been changed. Did you know that the Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us? Ephesians 3:20, amen? Oh, listen. Listen to David when he cried out, one of my favorite psalms of David, Psalm 61:1. David cries out, says, "Hear my cry, O God." In other words, let my prayer, what I'm going about to say, let it fill your ear completely, O God. He says, "Hear my cry, O God." He says, "From the end of the earth I'll cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Carry me to the rock that is higher than I." Well, that rock is Christ Jesus. Amen? And I don't know if you know this or not, but we are seated with our rock in the heavenlies right now. Amen? He is our Savior. Listen, there is only one cure for an overwhelmed heart, and it is not the world. It's not your best friend. It's not your mother, your father, and those are great people. It's not your sister, your brother. The only cure for a heart that is overwhelmed is the rock. Amen? His name is Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Well, David said, we just read it, "God is my only rock." Hannah said, "There is no rock like our God." Church, listen to me now. Whatever you build your life on, Christian, will manifest itself in your life. If your foundation is wrong, your living will be wrong. Do you understand? There's only one way for a Christian to build his life. We just were singing about it a moment ago, amen? When the winds blew and all the rest of it, remember? Listen, God won't fail you. He won't fail you, but you can fail yourself by not building upon the rock. Jesus told us that he said, listen, in Matthew 7:24, I think I quote that every service for some reason. You know, and what did Jesus say? He says, he who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house on the what? On the rock. That's your foundation. He's your foundation. And the winds blew, the storms, all, man, that house didn't fall. But he who hears these sayings of mine, but he doesn't do them, she doesn't do them. He said, you're building your life on sand. You're not on the rock. You're on the wrong foundation. And winds are going to blow into your life. Storms are going to come into your life. Circumstances are going to come into your life. And your house, your life, is going to fall apart because you have not built your life on the only foundation that can be laid. And that foundation, Paul says, is Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And that's what we are to do. Now listen, remember in the old covenant, remember the water that came from the rock? It just gushed out and for the children of Israel there in the wilderness. Well, the Bible, Paul tells us who that rock was and still is. That in 1 Corinthians, it tells us in 10:4, it says, all drank from the same spiritual rock, meaning spiritual means it was supernaturally given. He says, for they drank, and actually we could say, and they continue to drink, right, through the whole wilderness experience. He says, of that spiritual rock that followed them. Can you imagine a rock following you? Well, he's following you right now, every day of your life. And he says, and that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Christ was present in the wilderness, and he is present in his church. Amen. Listen, we're not under the old covenant. We're not in the wilderness. We don't have shadows like they had. We have the true living reality because we are under the new covenant, and Jesus is a surety, the guarantee of the new covenant. Amen? Man, listen, we have the true living reality. Now listen to me. Whatever you build your life on, it'll be manifested in your life. Now listen carefully. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. Is that true? Okay. Now, he not only is with you until the end of time. He says, lo, I'll never leave you, never, you know, remember in Matthew 28:20. But the rock lives in you. Colossians 1:27. Christ in me. Amen? The hope of glory. He's in you right now. Well, don't you think that the church ought to manifest his life to the world? Absolutely, loved one. So he says, look what David says now. He only is my rock. He's my only protection. He's my only salvation, my only deliverance. He's my only defense. In other words, my strong tower. And he says, I shall not be greatly moved. I'll not be shaken. Man, listen, that's what you call faith. David says, no matter what I'm facing. Listen, David waited on the Lord. David trusted the Lord. And I can tell you that God's promises, it's hard to wait, I know. It is hard sometimes. But God's promises are worth waiting on. Because there's no other way to escape, to get help. The Bible tells us in Psalm 55:22, cast your burden, cast your hurt, your anxiety, your circumstance, your issues that you're facing on the Lord. And here's the promise, he shall sustain you. Do you believe that? I believe it with all my heart. And not only will he sustain you, listen to this, he will never permit the righteous to be moved. He'll never permit you to be shaken to the core. You're going to stand if you are on the rock. Amen. And then David makes a statement. Watch what he does now. How long will you attack a man? So he is addressing, evidently directly, some type of tormentors or whoever they are. How long will you attack a man? You shall be slain, look at that, all of you, like a leaning wall and a tottering fence. In other words, David says, you guys are a bunch of weaklings. You're like an old broken down fence, and you're going to fall flat on your face. They only consult to cast him down from his high position, and they delight, his enemies take pleasure, they delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly, Selah. Pause, think about that, he says. Well, I'm going to tell you, this is what I call great faith. David waited on the Lord, and he was not even afraid. He wasn't afraid at all. He says, the confidence that he had, he says, all of you, you broken down fences. He says, all of you, man, it's over with. And David says, how in the world do you think I can be shaken when God is my rock, when God is my stronghold, when God is my protection? Amen? How can we be shaken about anything? See, faith, wait and trust the Lord. That's what David is saying to us right here. And then he repeats it. My soul waits silently, or I only wait silently for God alone, no one else. For my expectation or my hope is from him. Now that is true prayer. That is real prayer. I want you to look exactly what David does. Now, loved one, David prays. David waits. David did not act, but David trusted in God. And how do I know that? Look what he said. My expectation is from him, from God. So what was he doing? He says, I'm going to wait. You know what's going on. You know what I need. God knows what you need. Do you know that? He knows everything you need. He's not going, oh gosh, I didn't know you needed that. He knows, is your marriage in trouble? He knows that. Go to him. Is your personal life? Go to him. Is your finances? Go to him. Your health? Go to him. He knows. He loves you. Amen? David says, no, my hope, I'm waiting on God. My hope, my expectation is not from anybody else, but God only. So he placed his trust in hope. Now listen, not hope so, but hope. See, Bible hope is true, certain. True Bible hope is based on the true, certain, unchangeable promises of the living God. Amen? See, we don't just hope so, we know. You follow me? The Bible says in Romans 15:4, whatever things were written before, meaning the old covenant, were written for our learning or our instruction, that we through patience or perseverance and comfort, that word means encouragement, of the scriptures might have hope. Now, that's present tense in the Greek, so it'd be continuing to have hope, constantly knowing that it's going to come to pass and so forth. Paul writes again in Romans 15:13. He says, now may the God of hope do something to you. He says, fill you, and that word fill in the Greek is plero or pleru. It means like to fill you to the top, like a glass of water filled to the very top that's overflowing, okay? There's no room for anything else. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and all peace. And here how you, and this is how you get it. He says, in believing, you believe, you trust God. He says that you may abound. And here's how we do it. By the power of the Holy Spirit. Abound. I love William's translation. He says, bubble over. Boy, that's a good word. We need to bubble over with peace and joy and love and all the rest of those things. So listen, our hope is not hope so. Our hope is as certain as God is certain. Amen? Oh, listen. Yeah, listen, our hope is absolute reality. Why? Because God is the source of all hope. And the imparter of all hope is the Holy Spirit. That we just read it. And how does that come? It comes by believing. That means that you trust in the Lord. Do you know why we lose hope or why we get hopeless? Do you know why we don't wait for God and we get ahead of God? Oh, listen, if you do that, you know what's going to happen to you? And it's happened to me, I know. It produces to get ahead of God, His plan, His purpose, His will. Do not wait for the Lord. And you just go out and rush and do it yourself. It produces depression and discouragement in your life. Amen? Because you're getting out of the will of God. I love this poem that somebody said. I don't know who said it, but I've had it for so many years. It was appropriate to use this morning. This person says, I said, talking to God, I said, let me walk in the fields. But God said, no, no, walk in the town. And I said, no, no, there are no flowers there. And God said, no, there's no flowers there, but there's a crown. Amen. You get in the will of God, stay in the will of God. He's going to take you to where He needs you to be at the right time. And that's His plan. So David, again, in verse 6, He only is my rock, my only salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be shaken. In God is my salvation, my glory, the rock of my strength and my, literally, you can say only. My only refuge is in God. Now, I'm going to say something to you. Verse 6, I want it. And I encourage you to make verse 6, make it yours, because I'm going to tell you something about David. On verse 6, did you see his focus? Did you see the core of the center of his heart? Man, listen, his entire life, is his walk, everything he does revolves around verse 6. And we have to all ask ourselves the question, is that true of you? Is it true of me? Is God your only rock, your only salvation, your only defense? You'll never be shaken. He's your only glory. He's the rock of your strength. And the only refuge is in God. Listen, Jesus is our only hope and refuge. Amen? No enemy can reach you. Oh, they can try to get to you, but they can't. If you're on the rock, you may be shaking, but at least be shaking on the rock. Amen? Because you're going to make it if you do that. Now, here's what David does. David now instructs every saint in every generation. He's saying, do now what I do. If you want to live like this, and he says, and of course we do, look what he says to do in verse 8. He says, trust in him some of the time. Trust in him at all times. How much, I'm going to listen to me. Here's a question, and I want you to ask this question of yourself. I asked it of me yesterday as I put this sermon together. I said this, how much time do you spend not trusting God? I asked myself that question. Bill, how much time do you spend trusting God, and how much time do you spend not trusting God? Because it says, trust in him at all times, bad times, good times, terrible times, in happy times, when you're broke, when you're rich, you know, when you lose your job, when you're sick. It says, trust in him through everything. In your loneliness, in your despair, when you're empty. Have you ever been just empty? Just empty. Not just empty. Trust in him at all times during your life, and one day you will trust him at the very end of your life. And that's what all of us want to do. Amen. When our race is over, when that last sunset's going to hit us, we want to say, I know where I'm going. I have trusted him. I know he has me. I know that he'll never leave me, that he will never, ever forsake me. We are to trust God, loved one, 24/7 in any circumstance and in any situation. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know it with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways. Everything you're doing, acknowledge him. And he shall, it's a promise, he shall direct thy paths. And remember what the Hebrew word direct means? Make smooth, make level. But and always add this, don't define that word. Because what God says is level, you may say, no, that's not level. Well, God knows what you need, amen? So we need to follow him. Now listen, it's very important. You know, I asked myself a question. I asked myself a lot of questions yesterday. And that's kind of scary, you know, you start talking to yourself. And I said, now, Bill, do you have a lower view of Scripture than Jesus Christ? Do you have a lower view of Scripture than Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ, what did our Lord tell us? In John 17:17, he said, thy word, O God, is what? Truth. Jesus said, quoting the Deuteronomy scriptures in Matthew 4:4, to the devil, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen. You can't afford, Christian, I can't afford to have a lower view of Scripture than God does. In other words, what was my point? You can trust God. You can trust the Word of God. God says, you can trust him so much. Here's what he says. God says to you, he says, I want you to empty your heart. I want you to pour out your heart to me. I want just pour it out like water. He already knows what's in your heart. Amen? But you need to get rid of it. Maybe there's some things in there you say, I can't tell God that. Well, God says, no, I want it. I want you to pour out your heart before me. Now listen to me. There in verse 8, look at it again, that you pour out your heart before him. For God is a refuge. He's a shelter from danger, in other words, for us. And then he says, Selah, pause, ponder, think deeply about that verse, what David just said. Loved one, listen to me. Before him means that you are before God in prayer. It means that you're at the throne of grace. It means that you're seeking things above where Christ is and where he's sitting at the right hand of God. It means that when you are before him, that's what a Christian does. You pour out your heart to him. I do that all the time. And do you know what I've learned? He never gets weary hearing me. I mean, I have people that get weary of hearing me, but he doesn't. You know why? Because God loves you. Listen to me now. Did you know that our Father is concerned with anything that harms you or bothers you or causes depression or anxiety in your life? Do you know that? If it is bothering you, did you know it's bothering your Father? Let's just look at in the natural. As a father, you know, and you see your child going through something, would it bother the dad? Well, you think God is less than that? No. What does the Bible tell us to do? It says, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care, throwing it to him, everything in your life, throwing your whole life and everything that's bothering you, any kind of fear, any kind of sin, unknown sin, presumptuous sin, secret sin, all of it. I can't overcome this, whatever it might be. Oh, God says, I love you. I sent Jesus to die for you. Send it to me. Lay it on me. I don't want you tormented because I care for you. Casting all of your care, your anxiety, your circumstance, your fear, whatever it is, on him. Why? For he careth for you. Did you know there is no religion in the world that says that their God cares for their children except Christianity? Psalm 23:1, oh, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? I'll not lack. I shall not want. I shall not lack anything. Why? The Lord is my shepherd. He has everything I need. Amen? Oh, loved one, listen, we need to wait on the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. Now, look what David does. And this is so important today, especially right now in this generation. He takes us from verse 8, he goes into verse 9. He takes us from the security of trusting God to the insecurity of placing our trust in man. Okay? Listen, I'm telling you, fallen people, will they trust lies? Man, and how can we trust them? Huh? No, listen, he says, look what he says now. Surely men of low degree or low born, okay? Look what they are. They're a vapor. Now, let me give you another translation. Common people are as worthless as a puff of wind. How do you like that one? Here comes another one. Let's look at men of high degree. Men of high degree, they're a lie. Here's another translation, New Living Translation. The powerful are not what they appear to be. In other words, they're delusion. Now, watch this. Talking about man, if they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than what? A vapor. Let me give you another translation. If weighed, they are so insignificant, the scale would not even move. Here's another one that I love, the Berkeley version, New Berkeley version. He says, they're lighter than emptiness. That's like lighter than emptiness. What kind of word is that? Now, let me tell you something. I know that you read that and you go, wow, you know, this is a very ugly view of mankind. It is. But it's also a biblical view. Do you understand? We have to have a biblical mindset. We want to think like our Lord. We want to believe the word of God, loved one. Listen, you know what Job tells us? Have you ever, on the book of Job? Job says this, that men drink iniquity like water. What a word is that? Man drinks iniquity like they would drink water. I believe this in Job 15 or something. I can't remember. So what is David saying? He says, man, listen, you better only trust in God, Christian. Amen? He is your refuge. He is your strength. Listen, he is your provision. No man on this planet, no president, he cannot provide security, refuge, provision, or peace. Only God can do that. Amen? No one else. And this is so important. You know how important this is? If you believe this scripture, it will save you from 1,000 woes in your life, loved one. I preached at a pastor's conference a few years back. They asked me to teach on 10 things that every pastor should know. Number 10 was this one. Love every person, but trust no one. Isn't that sad? Love every, we're commanded to love every person. Love every, be good to everyone, but trust no one but God. Listen, every Christian and every pastor should point every person they meet, talk to for counsel, to only one man, and that man is Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen? No, listen, it is wrong for today in the American church to place a pastor, any pastor, on some kind, like they're not God. They don't deserve a golden pulpit. You know what I'm trying to say? Come on. There's only one that needs to be exalted. There's only one person that needs to be praised. His name is Jesus. Amen? And that's the only one, loved one. McGee said this. I love it. He's in heaven now. He said, the first thing a new Christian must learn is not to look to man, but to look to God. That's the true word. The first thing a Christian should look to. Because they are prone to look at some, oh, look, if I can only walk like that brother or that sister, or look at the pastor. No, don't. You got to point them away from you because you're going to fail. The Bible says in Proverbs or Psalm 118:9, it's better to trust in the Lord than put your confidence in man. And then he says in verse 10, do not trust in oppression. In other words, don't make your living by extortion, ripping people off, nor vainly hope in robbery. In other words, don't be a thief. Now watch this. If riches increase, praise the Lord, do not set your heart on them. So he's saying, don't trust the material, man. Don't set your heart on money. He says, set your mind on things above. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs 23:5, will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. 1 Timothy 6:7. Paul says, it is, you know, you brought nothing into this world. Amen. And it's certain you're not going to take anything out. You know, I'm getting rid of everything. You know, I've got, you know, tools that it was sad because, as you know, I was a home builder for many, many years. I built over 300 homes and I love building. And those tools, some of them 110 years old, not that I'm that old, tools you can't get anymore. And when I looked at all of them, it was kind of like a friend, and I was saying, thank you for helping me to earn a living. And that, but now they're going. And it won't be but another week or two, and all of them will be gone except a few select tools that'll be, of course, given to Thomas or whatnot. And if he doesn't want them, they're going to go to the trash. Everything we have is going to stay right here. Amen? 1 Timothy 6:17, what does Paul command? He commands those that are rich not to trust in uncertain riches. Riches are uncertain. He said, but trust in the certain God. Amen? And that's who we're to trust in, loved one. Now look at verse 11. He says, God has spoken once, twice. David says, I've heard this. What did he hear? Well, that power belongs to the Lord. Also to the Lord belongs mercy or unfailing love. For you render to each one according to his work. We're talking there about the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, loved one, at the end. So the first thing David heard, he heard from God, but he heard it from God twice, that all power belongs to God. It doesn't belong to King David. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to you. David knows in his heart that all power belongs to God, and that means he is secure. Do you know that you're secure? You're secure right now. He has you, man. Listen, we need to trust God, for all power has been given. He has all power. That means he can do anything. Is there anything too hard for God? Luke 1:37, what did the angel tell Mary? For nothing will be impossible with God. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Psalm 59:16, it says, but I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you are my defense, my refuge in the day of trouble. Job says, Job 42:1, Job answered the Lord and said this, I know that you can do everything. Do you believe that? God says, I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. That should be our biblical worldview. Nothing is too difficult for our God. Now listen, right now we need to keep our focus, loved one, all the way through this year and into the next year. Keep your focus right. We have a new president. Pray for that president. Amen? Yeah, pray for Congress. And you know what you need to pray? That they may know that all power belongs to God. Amen? Yeah, not to man, not to Democrats or Republicans. Our God reigns. He is in control. So the second thing that belongs to God, look at verse 12 again. It says, O Lord, to you belongs mercy or that unfailing love. All power belongs to God. All mercy belongs to God. Did you know that the Bible says that God is rich in mercy? Rich in mercy. Because of his great love in which he loved us, that even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, he made us alive in Christ Jesus and seated us with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 2:4-6. Amen. Thank God for that. We're no longer dead. Man, we've been made alive. And God's mercy, it's available right this minute. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may comfort those who are going through it as well. Amen. Our Father is the originator. He is the source of all mercy. He's the source of all comfort, The world lives on counterfeit mercy. The world lives on counterfeit comfort. And the world doesn't know where to find it, but we do. Oh, listen, loved one, you know, they don't know where mercy's found. They want mercy, but they don't believe it's found with God. Do you know we know where it's at? Did you know that those that don't know the Lord, they don't have access to the throne of grace where mercy may be found? Hebrews 4:16, amen? Boy, that's the throne of grace. That he says, come to, boldly to the throne that you may obtain mercy, help. Man, grace in time of need. We have everything we need. The Bible says in Proverbs or Psalm 32:33-20, our soul waits for the Lord. He's our help, our shield. Psalm 30:5, listen, this is a great verse. I love this one. I wait for the Lord, my soul. Everything I am waits, and his word, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. Now listen very carefully. That's a great scripture. But here's what that you don't want to miss about that scripture. Let me give it to you again. Psalm 130:5-6. Very, very important. It says to wait on the Lord. If you are waiting on the Lord, that means you are trusting in the Lord. Amen? It does not say to wait on the event. Don't wait on the event. You're not waiting on it to happen. You look to the Lord of the event. Amen? And why? Well, because God is working while you are waiting. Oh, that's so true. It's so true. Listen, if we wait in faith, it says there, what did he say? He says he was watching for the morning. He was watching for the darkness to depart, if you will. He was waiting for the new day to come. Why? Because the answer was on the way. God's answer for you right now is on the way, if you will believe that. I'm not telling you when it's coming. I'm just telling you it's coming. You may have to wait. You may be like Abraham and have to wait a long time. Amen? I don't know. But God's promises will never fail you. They always, always, always will come to pass in our lives. The Bible tells us in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. That's a good word. Dwell in the land, and I love this part, and feed on his faithfulness. Feed on God's faithfulness. Don't stuff yourself, loved one, with the White House. Listen to me. This is a word. The church needs to be a spiritual people, not a political people. Do you understand? We are to be walk in the Spirit, be filled with the Spirit every day. Oh, loved one, listen, that's the answer to be, even as a command, Ephesians 5:18, be ye being filled with the Spirit. It's a command every day. Walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit of God. Listen, it says, delight yourself also in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Did you know that only God can give you the desires of your heart? No one else. And do you know why he can give you the desires of your heart? He's the only one that knows your heart. Amen? Nobody else knows it. Let me give you just two more scriptures here, maybe three. Psalm 37:7, rest. Hold your peace. Just rest. Quit laboring. Rest in the Lord. Slow down. Stop. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Isaiah 40:28. Have you not known, God says? Have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the one who is in every place at all times? He says, the creator of the ends of the earth, he neither faints nor he's weary, God is all-powerful, isn't he? He says his understanding is unsearchable. You can't figure it out. Why? God is all-knowing. God doesn't learn anything. He knows everything. So what did that scripture just say? He says, open your ears and trust. But why? Because what God has and who he is, did you know that he shares with his children? He shares it with you and with me. Let me give the scripture. It's Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the strong? No. He gives power to the weak. Are you worn out right now? Are you worn out, exhausted from circumstances or whatever you're facing? He says, he gives you power. And to those that have no strength, no might, he says he increases his strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fail, meaning those in the prime of their life. Here it comes. You know the scripture. But those, everybody say that, but those, that's us, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, or literally shall exchange their strength. His strength becomes your strength. And it says, they shall mount up with the wings of eagles, they'll run and not be weary, they'll walk and not faint. That's what God does for us. Do you know the scripture, Psalm 103:5, it says, God who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Did you know that only God can satisfy? No one else. Only God can satisfy man. But here's what I love. Did you know that when God satisfies us, he does it, like I just read, he does it with good things. Good things. One more scripture. David cries out and he says in Psalm 40 verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. Again, that's the posture of faith. I waited patiently for the Lord. He heard my cry. He also brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock and established my steps, and he put a new song in my mouth. Do you know that when you wait on the Lord and you trust in the Lord, do you know he's going to bring it to pass? He wants you, church, listen, God, if God be for us, who in the world can be against us? Amen. He didn't spare his only son. I mean, how will he not with him freely give us all things? Let's not live below our calling. Amen. Let's live the way the Lord would have us live. You know, I remember, and I'm closing, that clock is wrong, by the way. Did you reset that clock? Trying to mess with me. You know, years ago, do y'all remember Maranatha music? You remember that song? I waited on the Lord Most High. Remember that? I waited and he heard my cry. Remember that song? Yes. Say that. I waited on the Lord up high. I waited and he heard my cry. When you wait on the Lord, he loves you, he hears you. His promises are real. I tell you, behold what manner of love that God has bestowed, lavished upon the children of God. This love which is out of this world, he's given unto us. The one that'll never leave you, never forsake you. If things are not right in your life, get right with God. Amen? Run to him. And he's calling you right now. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We thank you that next Sunday, we move into the holiday season, Lord, all the way from Thanksgiving and all the way unto Christmas, Lord. I thank you for the sheep of your pasture. I thank you, Lord, that they love you, that they're waiting for you, that they trust you, and they know that your promises are true. I pray that there's a supernatural joy renewed right now in every heart. Every heart. And Lord, if it's not joy that's needed to be renewed, then let it be peace. And if it's not peace, then let it be assurance. If it's not assurance, then let it be love. Whatever is needed, let it be. We right now, Lord, we want the great exchange. We don't want our strength. We want your strength. Pour it out upon us. Give us wisdom. Give us discernment. Let us finish out this year that will bring glory to Jesus and move into next year, if you tarry, to do your will. We give you praise this morning. We give our love to you this morning. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for your word that instructs us. We love you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Amen. Let's